in our lives. Amen. 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 God bless you today for your worship in this house. Are you glad you came to church? Just say amen if that's you. God bless you. It is so good to see each and every one of you in this house today. You're a beautiful congregation. And I love what Tanya said a minute ago, these last couple of Sundays. If you've been around Life Church for many years at all, you know that it's been a couple of years. But these last couple of Sundays, we've been able to hear that sound again, that sound of people visiting and talking and sharing with one another. And it's a beautiful, beautiful sound. I think even that is a form of worship as we begin to fellowship with one another, the brothers and the sisters in the Lord, and encouraging one another and strengthening one another. So we worship in our song. We worship with our hands and our and uplifted arms and hands to the Lord. We worship in our giving and our tithes and our offering. We worship as we encourage and strengthen one another in the Lord. Amen, amen. God bless you for being here today. And we're so thankful for this opportunity that we have to worship the Lord together. This morning, I want to do just a little bit of practical teaching today, if I can, just for a few moments. I'm not going to be long, but I want to talk to us about something that we could literally put into practice as we leave this house today. And I believe that it will be life-changing if we allow it. A very simple word, if you will, but something that can change our lives drastically and dramatically if we will allow it. Let me just begin by saying today that I don't want a little disclaimer, if you will. I don't want the words that I share over these next 25 or 30 minutes, I don't want them to be confused or misinterpreted that somehow I'm talking about this prosperity type message that if you do this, you're going to have bigger and better things and in the natural and the material stuff. I certainly believe that God wants to bless us in whatever way he sees fit and whatever way we need in our lives, not necessarily always what we want, but definitely what we need. And sometimes that involves some of the material things of life. So I don't want us to get bogged down there. I want us to see the big picture here. I do believe that we serve a omnipotent God. He is all powerful. I believe that we serve a sovereign God. I really do believe that. But I also believe that when God created man, he created us with the power and the intelligence to make choices. A lot of times there's this big debate over sovereignty and free will. And I don't think it's a matter of either or. I think it's a matter of both and. They work together. I believe that it is because of and through God's omnipotence and through God's sovereignty that he has now enabled us and he has given us that power to choose. So when God created us, he created us and he gave us that power. So not only are we capable of making choices, but our choices are, if I can say it this way, our choices are our part in the creative process of our lives. A lot of people think, well, whatever happens is the will of God, and the will of God is just whatever happens. But I want us to understand that we have been invited. We have been given, we've been extended an invitation. We've been invited by our Creator into that creative process for our lives and our future. Can I just say it this way without maybe sounding like it's heresy or whatever? Can I just say it's not all up to God? Can I just say it that way? That we have a part in this thing. You and I, we play a role in this thing. My choices are my part in the creative process of my life. It's not all the part, but it's my part. I have a part. I have a role. When we hear a great musician play an instrument, we know that they didn't just start as a great musician. But they chose. They chose every day in most cases. They chose their way into this place of skill and mastery and greatness. When you see those incredible married couples, and we have tons of them across this room today, those married couples who have been together for years and years, and in some cases decades, and they're so very happy and they're so in love. Now we all know there's no perfect relationship. We know that. And those of you that come around trying to talk about how you got the perfect marriage and the perfect life and y'all have never had a cross word or a cross thought or whatever with one another, we all know you're lying, and we know God's going to forgive you and he'll save you and you're going to go to heaven and all those good things. But we all know there's no perfect relationship. But you look at those couples and you see how they still have it after all these years. They're singing the old Shania Twain song, "You're Still the One." You're still the one. They still have that magic. They still have that flame. Can I just tell you that they didn't just end up there? They didn't just happen into that place. They made choices. Every day they got up, even when they didn't feel it in their emotions, even when they didn't want to at times, they made a choice to honor one another. They made a choice to consider one another. They made a choice. It was their choice. It wasn't something that took over them. It was their choice that they made to be committed, even when it wasn't easy to be committed, and to work hard on that relationship. I believe good advice for young couples that's maybe just starting out today is this. I often make this statement when I do weddings sometimes, and I've said it over couples, and I meant it when I said it, that this match was made in heaven. Match was made in heaven. And I do believe that. I believe that God is the one who he intersected those two lives, and he made that match happen. But I can tell you, the match may be made in heaven, but great marriages are not made in heaven. The match may be made in heaven, but the marriages are made right here on earth. The marriage is made tomorrow when I wake up and I make the choice to be committed, when I make the choice to honor, when I make the choice to serve. Many times, we can be guilty of just thinking that God is going to make our marriage great. But our choice to love and our choice to honor, to devote ourselves to one another, to care more about the other person than we care about ourselves is what ultimately builds and grows that marriage and leads us to that place of that great marriage. When we make a choice every day to do that, that's when we look at those couples and we say, that's how we get to where they are, instead of ending up in divorce court. Today's not a marriage ceremony. Today's not a marriage. What's the word I'm looking for? Sermon, or there's another word. Conference, marriage. Anyway, that's not what today is. Seminar. Thank you very much. Today is not a marriage seminar. I wasn't going to be able to move on until somebody brought it. Thank you. You can see that. When we see people who have turned their lives around dramatically and drastically, maybe it was someone who was once addicted to a chemical or drugs or alcohol, or maybe dealing with obesity or some other destructive behavior. It didn't just happen when they turned their lives around. When you see that drastic change in their life, it didn't just happen because they wanted it to happen. It doesn't happen because they pray it to happen. And I'll clarify that in a minute. It happens because they started making better choices. It happened because they woke up on Monday morning and said, I'm going to make different choices today. And that's how ultimately their lives turned around. Don't get me wrong. I've seen God do these dramatic, creative miracles in people's lives. I've seen where someone was completely and totally addicted to drugs and alcohol, and in a moment, God touched their lives, and their lives were dramatically and radically changed. And tomorrow, they were a different person. But I will tell you something. That doesn't happen all the time. As a matter of fact, I would say it's more like 1 out of 1,000 that it happens that way. Because as a pastor, I deal with a lot of people. Well, no matter what the issue is, if it's struggling in a relationship, only 1 out of 1,000. There's another 999 times where I'm going to wake up tomorrow with the same struggle. I'm going to wake up tomorrow with the same temptations. I'm going to wake up tomorrow with the same issues and perplexing battles in my mind. And I partner with the Lord and I make the choice. It happens when people see these drastic and dramatic changes in their life. When you see those changes, it happens in one's life. It happens because they started making better choices. They developed better habits, and they choose their way to a healthier life and a better life. The last message of Moses to the people of Israel, he was 120 years old, and he's given his last message to these people before he ultimately hands the baton over to Joshua. And he's telling them that God has a great plan for their life and their future. He's saying, I want everyone to know that God has a promised land prepared for you. He says, God has a great plan, and he's got a great place, and he wants to take you there. But, and in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, this is what follows. He says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death. I'm basically putting the choice right out there in front of you. I have set before you today life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, Moses said, choose life. Choose life that both you and your descendants may live. My choices are my part in the creative process of my life. We don't just end up. Wherever we are today, we didn't just end up there by chance. We are where we are today by choices. For some of us, we're where we are today by someone else's choice. But for some of us, we're where we are today by our own choice. But nevertheless, it is ultimately a choice that has brought us to the place that we are today. That doesn't mean that we control everything that happens to us, or that we control everything that happens around us, but it does mean that every time that something does happen to us or around us, we still have a choice on how we're going to respond to whatever that thing is in our lives. So we don't end up where we are just by chance. And our future is not determined simply by chance. Wherever we end up, we have a choice. We have a choice. Now, I've shared this little statistic before, and I'm gonna share it with you now because I think it's fitting here. Statistics say that 24 hours from right now, the average person that listens to this message is only gonna be able to remember about 2% of what's been said. Okay, I thought you might enjoy that a little more than what you did. Maybe your memory's a lot better than mine. Maybe you retain things better than I do, but that's what statistics say. So here's the one statement I hope will be the thing that sticks today. Here's the one statement. This is the 2% that I hope we'll all remember, and here's the takeaway for the day. It's simply this: better choices equals better life. There's your 2% right there. If you don't take anything else home, if you don't hashtag anything else, if you don't type anything else in your phone or in your notes, do that one thing. That's the 2% that I hope we carry away today. Better choices equals better life. I love to talk to people who have been successful in their lives. I love it. I love to be around successful people, whether it's people who are successful in career and business, whether it's people who have been successful in family and marriage and relationship. I love to be around those kind of people. And here's what I love. I love to listen to them. I love to listen to them. When I get around people like that, that are willing to ultimately to give advice, if they're really willing to kind of pour their heart out and share their story, I want to tell you what happens in those moments. I close my mouth and I open my ears and I become like a sponge. You know, I love to talk. I'm a talker. I do. I can run my mouth a lot. But and if I'm with you and I'm talking a whole lot, that means that you probably don't have anything that I want to hear. I'm trying to fill the space because I don't want to get dumber the more you talk to me. No, I'm only kidding, I promise you. But if I'm being real quiet around you, it's because I've discovered and found something in you that I need. I need to grow somewhere, and I've learned that you have something that I need, and so now my mouth is fixing to close, and my ears and my heart's fixing to be open, because I'm like a sponge. I'm ready to receive. And in most cases, these successful people will begin to tell you about the tough choices that have to be made. If we'll really listen, we won't just hear about the success. We won't just hear about the lucky breaks that came along. We won't hear about the ladder that took us up. We'll begin to hear about some of the failures. We'll begin to hear about some of the hard lessons learned. We'll hear about some of the tough choices that have to be made. A choice to change some of the things that we're doing and the way that we're doing things. A choice to change the way that we think. A choice to change our environment sometimes. A choice to change some of our habits. We talked about that a few weeks ago. And some might hear that kind of advice and they'll say, well, it's easy for them to say that. I mean, look, they got all the breaks. They've got the wealth and they've got the right people in their lives and they've got all the right means. But what we have to remember in those moments is that the better life that they are now enjoying, the better life that they are now walking in, was preceded by better choices. And nobody just ends up in a better life without making better choices, because better choices equals better life. Just because you're born into the, quote, right family, you were born with that proverbial silver spoon in your mouth, doesn't necessarily mean that you end up successful. We've seen people who had all the opportunity. They had everything laid out right before them. They had all the money, they had all the resources, they had all the support, they had everybody waving their flag for them, and they made choices that sent them down the wrong road. On the flip side of the same coin, we've seen those who come from the most deplorable situations, poverty and abuse and all kinds of things, and somewhere along the way, they made a choice and said, no, my history is not gonna be my destiny, and I'm gonna make a choice today to do something different. And that means I'm gonna change my environment, I'm gonna change some of the things that I do, I'm gonna change the way I think, I'm gonna change what my goals are gonna be. My goals and visions and hopes are not gonna be those of my predecessors and those that went before me. Wherever we are currently, let me just say, is not where we have to stay. And if we want a better life, we can have a better life. The only thing between us and that better life is better choices. I hope this doesn't sound too elementary today. I hope this doesn't sound like too Christianity 101 today. But for some of us, and me included, I've got to start making better choices. Nobody makes good choices all the time. We know this. Everybody makes some crazy and stupid choices. Anybody else in the room besides me want to be honest today and say, I've made some pretty stupid choices in my life. I've been there. I've done it. Might have done it yesterday. I'm not sure. But we've all made bad choices. We've all made choices that we regret. We've made some emotionally driven choices before. Choices where we look back and we say, what was I thinking? Or was I even thinking at all? I allowed my emotions to take over, and I made those choices there. Some of us in our past, we made hormonally driven choices, and I won't say anything more about that. As a matter of fact, there was a play, a traveling play that was going around the country one time, and they came to Winnsboro. I saw it on the marquee out at the Princess Theater. They came to Winnsboro, and it was a traveling stage play, and the title of the play was "Lawd Done Sent Me a Man." L-A-W-D, Lord done sent me a man. And I think about some of our young single folks, and I think about some of our folks who are young and maybe single again folks, and we all have been there. We've all been in that place where we're looking for the right one. We just know the right one is going to show up anytime, and when the right one doesn't show up, we're going to go looking for the right one. Lord done sent me a man. I love, because if you know Doodle McCain, and I hope he doesn't see this, but I don't care if he sees it or not, actually, because he's Doodle. But he has a name for Sheriff Cobb and for me, and they're very similar. He calls him Kevin of the Law, and he calls me Kevin of the Lawd. Very close. One letter separating. Kevin of the Law, Kevin of the Lawd. Lawd done sent me a man. But the truth is that we make choices. A statement I've made before, I'll say it again today, we make choices and then those choices make us. Here's another takeaway statement. We cannot pray our way out of what we choose our way into. We can't pray our way out of what we choose our way into. I'm just saying that sometimes when we don't do our homework, when we don't pray about it, when we don't process it, when we refuse to pray, Lord, your will be done and not just what I want, I've done this pastoring thing for quite a while now, longer than what I realized, actually. Actually, about 25 years, to be exact. I know I don't look that old, but I have. And I see this all the time. I see how people choose. People make choices. I've seen it in my own life, but I see it a lot in different areas of life and other people. They choose and they choose. And then later, they start realizing they chose their way into the place that they are right now. The good news is this. The good news is just because we might have made bad choices in our past doesn't mean that we have to keep making bad choices. We can make better choices. You might have had a bad marriage that ended, It didn't end well, but I can tell you something. The good news is this. You don't have to make that choice again. You might have made that choice once. You don't have to make that choice again. We don't have to keep going the same way. We can make better choices. When we make better choices, we'll have a better life. Better choices equals better life. And I want to just pause right here, and I want to say to everyone in this room today who have made bad choices, and that starts with talking to the man up here on the platform today. For every one of us who have made bad choices, I want to tell you something. There is grace in the house today. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If the enemy is on your back and whispering in your ear and reminding you of the failures and the mistakes and the bad choices in your past, I want to tell you something. Tell him to get out of the room. He has no place here. You only have a future in God. There is no past in God. There's only a future with him. There is grace for you. And I love the term redeeming grace. I love that term because it comes back to that verse that we quote so often around here, Romans 8:28. We know that all things work to the good for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. I believe that even those bad choices, that's how powerful, that's how omnipotent our God is, that he'll even take our bad choices and he'll turn them around and he will work them for our good. So there is shame off you today. Now, I don't want to hear anybody say, shame on me, shame on you. No, shame off you today. But the truth is God doesn't make our choices. We do. We make our choices. In fact, Daryl Shipman, my good buddy, gave me the statistic several years ago, and I've remembered it. The average person makes 35 choices a day. Did you know that? Did you know that from the time you woke up this morning until you go to bed tonight, you're going to make approximately 35,000 choices, which means that we're making choices even when we don't know that we're making choices. There's those choices that's made out of the subconscious, those that predictable part of who we are, our mindset, our attitude, our approach to life. There are people who know us well. They know us well, and they can kind of predict those things about us because they know the kind of choices that we make. We're just making those subconscious, predictable choices, but those people who really know us, they already know. They already know what we're going to do. 35,000 choices. So even if I'm making, let me just encourage all of us today. Even if I'm making 20,000 really good choices a day, that means there's plenty of room for improvement in my life. Even if I'm making 20,000 great choices a day, and I'm saying all this to encourage us today. There's a lot of people in this room today who are making amazing choices. Just your choice to be here today, just your choice to get your family together and bring them to the house of worship was a great choice. Our choices are powerful. They're powerful. We choose who we follow on social media. We choose what we're going to ingest into our minds and our hearts. We choose what news network, if any, that we're watching or looking at, and the voices that's speaking into our lives. We make that choice. And I'll be honest with you, I've made the wrong choice a lot of times. I've opened up social media and all of a sudden I'm engrossed in this argument. I'm engrossed in this division. All of a sudden I've been gone to my notes in my phone, not the real social media. I've gone over to my notes and I've started typing my response. And I'm so glad I do it over there, because somewhere between there and the actual Facebook, I pray and I make a choice. And usually this is the choice that I'm asking myself. Is this going to benefit the kingdom at all? Yes. Is it going to benefit me and my family at all? Is it only going to tear down more? Oh, yeah, I'll get those that are on my side, and they'll praise, and we'll have our little high fives together. Meanwhile, we're only being destructive. But that's a choice. God doesn't make those choices. We do. What I want us to understand today is it takes courage. It takes courage to make better choices. Because for many of us, we're in a routine right now. I think another good word for routine sometimes is rut. I find myself in a rut sometimes. And a better choice sometimes just means forming a new habit, a better habit in my life. And human nature will cause us to just get stuck where we are. If we listen to the human nature side of ourselves, we will just get stuck. We'll just become satisfied with the place that we are, and we'll even begin to label ourselves at times. And because we don't make a certain choice or we don't go in a particular direction that maybe the Lord is leading us to, we'll just respond with the same pat answer every time. Well, you know, I'm just shy. You know, I'm just more of a shy, more of an introvert. I don't have what other people have. I don't have those gifts that other people have or possess. And so we always have our little pat response and answer. And when other people approach us, we all of a sudden, all they can see on our forehead, because we've displayed it and we put it on our face and we put it on our demeanor, there's just this massive no that's printed across our forehead. No, that's not me. That's not really who I am. And we miss out on something great because we're stuck. It takes courage. It takes courage to make better choices. If you want something different, you have to do something different. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. If we want something different, we have to do something different. And it takes courage to do that. It takes courage to make those better choices. The verse that we started with today, I shared a little background on it from Deuteronomy, where Moses was giving this last message to the people of his. And then he came to that point where he said, there's a promised land. There's a better place for you. There's some promises that God has for your life and for your future, for this nation of people. There's some great stuff ahead of you. And I may not make it there with you. Dr. Martin Luther King would quote Moses whenever he was giving his final speech the night before his assassination, when he said, but I've been to the mountaintop. And I've seen that promised land. I see where we're going. And if you will just make the choice, he said, I set before you life and death. You have a choice. He said, choose life. Make the choice and choose life. In that message, Moses, he was on his way out of the picture. But he wanted to relay and he wanted to empower those. He wanted to relay to them the gravity of this choice that they were about to make. And he wanted to empower them before they crossed over the Jordan and before they headed into their potential and before they headed into this promised land. He wanted to empower them with the reality that God is the one who brought us this far. God has been with us all along. I know it's been a treacherous journey through a wilderness for 40 years. I know that, but I want you to remember that he's been faithful. He fed us. He led us every day, and he protected us, and he provided for us. God brought us this far, and God will take us to where he promised to take us. God's promises are real, and they are great, he was saying to those people. And you're going to have adversity, and there's going to be challenges, and you're going to face some things. And yes, you will get discouraged. And if you're not careful, you're going to miss out on what God has for you, because your focus is going to get on all the stuff and the distractions and the worry and the adversity and the challenges. And what stands out to me is the fact that out of all those people, even out of those 12 spies that Moses was sent in to spy out the promised land, to spy out Canaan, it was only two who really took this message that Moses was saying. It was only two that took it to heart, Joshua and Caleb. They took this power to choose thing to heart in their own life. And they made the choice to believe there was something better no matter what. No matter what they were looking at. They were going to believe God and trust that God had a plan and a good plan for their life, and that they were going to, one step at a time, move forward and make courageous choices. They were going to face giants. Yes, they were going to face giants. There were real giants in the land. Yes, they were the size of grasshoppers in the sight of these giants. Yes, they realized that. They saw the same stuff that the other 10 spies saw. But they were able to see through faith that if I will just make a choice to look at it different, to see it different, to know that these are the promises of God and that God has promised us a future in a promised land, they were going to face giants. And while everyone else was saying, they're so big, we can't do this, Joshua and Caleb were saying, we can do this. That land is ours. It was promised to us. They knew that the giants made them look like grasshoppers. They saw the same thing the others saw, but they made the courageous choice. They made a choice to stand up in the middle of all the negativity and say, but God is with us. God has always been with us, so be strong and have courage. That's what they were saying. God will never forsake us. We sang about it this morning. I believe that there are some in this room today that God is calling right now. He's speaking to us and he is calling us to make some courageous choices. You've been looking at some things in your life, and you've been looking to the left and right, and say, I know there's a choice to be made here. There's a line in the sand to be drawn here. There's a choice to be made, and I believe that God is speaking to us today, and he's compelling us, and he's drawing and beckoning us out of that place of complacency, that place of negativity, that place where we've just kind of become satisfied in our little valley, and God is calling us make the courageous choice to step out. For many here today, in your heart, you want something different. You want something better. You want something more. You want more for you. You want more for your family. But maybe you've just kind of put everything on pause for a little while. Maybe you've just kind of gotten used to putting one step, one foot in front of the other, instead of looking ahead and with vision and purpose and making choices that align with that. Maybe you don't even realize it, but you're not making new and fresh, courageous choices to advance in life. You know the promises of God. You want the promised land that he has for you, but you've allowed yourself to be intimidated by the giants in the land and the challenge of actually going there. I believe that God's speaking to us today. I really do. It's a simple message. It's a simple word, but I believe he's speaking to us today, and he's letting us know that this right now is our moment. Right now is our moment to choose differently. To make a choice and say, I'm going to step into a new season of life using the power to choose. We believe in the power of prayer, and we do believe that God is omnipotent, but I also believe that as God is speaking, as God is working, as God is moving, I got to step up and I've got to take that physical step and move in the direction. I have to make that choice. I'm going to exercise my power to make courageous choices in my life. I'm going to turn my life in a brand new direction. I've been stuck in a habit, and I'm going to choose different than I've been choosing. Hoping for something is not the same as choosing something. Praying for something is not the same as choosing something. The truth is when I pull out of this driveway of this church today, I may have a desire to go to Monroe. I may want to go to Monroe. But if I pull out here on 425 and I go south and I stay south, guess what? I'm never going to get to Monroe. And let me just say this too. The faster I go is not going to get me there either. A lot of times we feel like, well, I'll just speed up. But if I'm going the wrong direction, all it's doing is getting me in the wrong direction faster. But I make the choice. Direction determines destiny. What God was saying through Moses is you're not alone. I am with you. But I need you to use what I've given you, and you take that step. You make that choice. Move in the direction I'm leading you. Use the power that I've given you and choose. Choose. Choose life. I'm closing. I told you I wouldn't be long today. If you're a guest today, you're thinking, oh, this isn't long. I'm not coming back next week. No. I love that verse, Ephesians 3:20. We refer to it a lot around here. And the problem with this verse, I've heard this verse misused a little bit. Because a lot of times people will only reference the first part of the verse, the promise of the verse. They speak of the part of the verse that speaks of the power of God, this omnipotent power of God. This all-powerful God, it speaks of that, and it is so very true. But you have to read the whole verse. You have to read the whole verse. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. That's powerful. That's the kind of God you serve. That's the kind of God I serve. That's the kind of God. That's the God that we're worshiping on this Sunday morning. That's the God that we're praising and we're singing about and we're declaring the power of who he is. That's the power he is. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Man, what a mighty God. Whatever you can imagine, whatever you can think of, he is able. He is more than able to do that. If you've got little faith, he'll do little. But if you've got big faith, he'll do big. You can, if whatever you can think, whatever you can imagine. But then here's the rest of the verse. According to. That's those two words has a lot of impact. He'll do it. He's able to do it. He's all powerful. If you can even imagine it or think it, he can do it. But it happens according to the power that works in us. What is that power? It is the power to choose. The power to choose to trust him. If we want to see the better life in our marriage, in our finances, in our relationships, in our jobs and career, in our life, most importantly, in the purpose and the calling of God on our lives, most importantly, we make the choice and we stay committed to it, and then we watch God work on our behalf. We make the choice and then watch God go. You make the choice, I make the choice. We do what he's empowered us to do, then watch him do what only he can do. Joshua stood before the people of Israel in Joshua 24. And he reminds them of the power of God. He reminds them of the faithfulness of God. And in verse 15, this is what he says. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose, there's that word, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers who served, your fathers served that were here on this side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites or whose land you dwell. This is what he says, though. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we choose to serve the Lord. We choose to trust God. We choose to put him first in all things. Choose to think positively, not negatively. That's a choice. That's a choice we have. I can look at the glass half empty, or I can look at the glass half full. But it's my choice. It's my choice how I'm going to respond to the negative things in life. It's my choice. I have a choice. God has empowered me with that. He's empowered you with that. That's our choice. It's our choice. For some of us, we need to choose to rewrite our life's script. There's been a certain thing that's been written about you in life, not by God, in life. For some of us, our ancestors made that choice and began to write our story. For some of us, it was our parents. For some, it was our own choices. And there's been a life script that's been written about us just based on the things of life. But I want to say it again. I said it earlier. I want to say it again. Your history is not your destiny. It's time to turn the page into a new chapter, and it's time to start rewriting the script of our life and our future and our children and our grandchildren and the generations to come. Well, I'm this way because my mama was this way. Well, this is just the way we've always done it. This is the hand I've been dealt. I get there's some things in our lives that's out of our control. I get that. That's the God part. That's the hint to him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly. But what about the things that I can? What about the choices that I can make? How about not choosing to live as the victim? If I play the victim, I'll stay the victim. How about quit making it everybody else's fault? How about choosing to say, you know what? Yeah, this person did this to me, and yes, that happened to me, and it was not right, it was unjust, it was not fair, but I have a choice now. I can stay in prison to that person and that event that happened in my life, or I can make the choice and I can grab the keys to my future and I can unlock that prison cell. I can do it with forgiveness. I can do it with whatever the tool is in your tool belt today, and make the choice to walk free and not be the victim anymore, but be the victor. I choose to not live with unforgiveness and bitterness anymore. I've let it imprison me way too long. I'm not going to harbor this anymore. I'm letting it go today. I'm walking out of this room today with in freedom and with victory in my life today. I'm not going to hold on to this offense anymore. I choose not to hold on to the offense. How about this? I choose to worship. I choose to worship even when everything in my emotions tell me not to. I make a choice. When all my world is falling apart, I choose to lift my hands to heaven. I choose to put my focus on the one, the only one who can give real life. Even when everything is crumbling around in my life, I look to the ultimate life giver and I choose to worship him. Not I ask you for anything, not God change something, not God turn something around. God, I just worship you for who you are. That's a choice. I love those moments when emotion just takes over. I love those moments when we feel that tangible presence of God that Daddy was talking about this morning that comes, swoops in and just moves. But I will tell you, that doesn't happen all the time. That may happen in a moment like today in this service, and you're just frozen. You're just paralyzed in the presence of God because he just sovereignly decided just to show up in your life that day in a real tangible way. But then tomorrow morning, when I don't feel that feeling anymore, when that emotion's not there anymore and I'm facing real life and real adversity, it's in that moment that I have to make the choice and say, I'm going to do the same thing I did yesterday. Even when I felt you, I'm going to do the same thing when I don't feel you, and I'm going to worship you and I'm going to pray. I choose to do that. I choose to fill my life with your word. I'm filling my heart and I'm filling my mind and my thoughts with everything else in the world, with politics and with government and with pandemics and my thoughts and philosophies on this and that and the other. And I it's time to just begin. I choose to just fill my mind and my heart with the word of God and the promises of God and speak of the goodness of God and just let that marinate in my heart and in my spirit all day long, every day. I choose to have faith. I choose to have faith. And I don't mean having faith in my faith. You know what I'm talking about. Faith in the faithfulness of God. I choose to put my faith in the faithfulness of God. We all know that God is faithful. We all know that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. But I have to make a choice to embrace that and adopt that into my life and live in that every single day. Because it's amazing how we, even as believers, we who know the word and have studied the word, will find ourselves in those opposing moments of life. And all of a sudden, wait a minute. Maybe this is the big one, Elizabeth. Maybe this is the time. This is where his hand finally, he finally decided to let me go. Can I tell you, I've let my mind go there. As a believer of decades, as a minister of the gospel of Jesus, someone who has devoted his entire life to the kingdom of God and his purposes, I've let myself go there. This must be the big one. This is when his hand is finally too short. Faith. But somewhere in there, we had to have a choice. We had to make a choice to have faith in the faithfulness of God. I choose to trust him. That's a choice. It's a choice. I'm not trying to say that we're all a bunch of gods in this room. We were created in his image. We need to begin to see ourselves as he sees us, which is a lot of times a lot better than we see ourselves right now. I'm not trying to say that we're God. We already talked about who he is and his power and how great he is, his omnipotence. But he said, In my power, and in my sovereignty, I'm empowering you. I've given you something, and it's the power to choose. This isn't the kind of message that'll have you running the aisles today, but I hope it has you running the aisles at your house tomorrow about 9:00. I hope it has you running the aisles in your office tomorrow about 10 o'clock when it hits you. And you know what? Normally, this is what I would do right now. Normally, I would go to Facebook right now. Ordinarily, right now in this moment, in this conversation that I'm having, my mind would immediately go there. But I choose life. And I choose the promises and the plans of God for my life. I choose that he's in control. I choose to trust him. I choose to have faith in his faithfulness. And all of a sudden, you're thinking different, and you're doing something different, and you're going to run the aisles. In the office. Would you stand with me today? Father, I thank you. I thank you, God, for every person that walked into this room today. I thank you, God, for your promises that are yes and amen. I'm thankful, Lord God, for the greatest promise, and that is that you will never leave us, that you will never forsake us, that you are with us always, that you are faithful in our lives, through every part of our lives. Thankful today, God. And today, Lord, we choose life. I pray whoever's in this room today, God, who has walked in here today, wonder, what's my next step? What's my next step? What do I do next? I pray, God, that you will convict our hearts to choose and to choose life. Better choices equals better life. A life in you. A life consumed by you. A life led and driven by your Holy Spirit. That's the life that we're choosing today, God. We choose you. Our choice is you. There is no other choice. There is no other option. Our choice is you. In Jesus' name. As they sing today and as we close out, I want to have a little time of just going before the Lord. You can do that from the seat you're standing at right now. You can do that at the front of this room. If you want to come kneel at the front of this room, you're welcome to do that. But I just believe that today it's time to make a choice. Make a choice. I just can't help but believe in a room this size with this many people, there may be somebody in this room today, possibly, who you've never chosen Jesus. The greatest choice you will ever make. The choice to say, God, I need you in my heart. I need you in my life. I accept what you've done for me. I want you to rule and reign in every single part of life. I choose Jesus, and I choose you today. That's a moment that we want to celebrate with you. If that is you today, I will ask you to make your way down this aisle and come to the front, and we want to pray with you, not for you necessarily, but with you as you receive Jesus, as you accept Jesus in your life, as you choose Jesus, the greatest life force, the greatest life you can ever have. He said, the enemy came to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life. If we'll just embrace him today, that'll be the greatest choice you'll ever make for your entire life. This moment's for you to choose Jesus. For some in this room today, it's time to make a different choice in your marriage. I've been going this way. We've been operating and functioning this way as a husband and a wife, and we're making a choice today. We're putting God first. We're looking to God first and only him, and he will order our steps, and he will govern our home, and he will lead and guide our home. I choose Jesus for my home. I choose Jesus for my life. For some of us in this room today, we've let our mind, there's a battlefield in the mind, and we've let our mind just be consumed with the thoughts of negativity and the doomsday that seems to be so prevailing so much around us. And today you say, you know what? I make a choice to change my mind. Paul would say, renew your mind daily. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Renew that mind. I make a choice. He's saying it's a command for us to do. I choose life. So today, you know what it is in your life. I know what it is in my life. It's time to make a choice. And when we make the choice, you watch what God does. We do that little according to part, according to the power that works within us. And I begin to open up my heart and my life and my mind to the faith in faith in God. And then all of a sudden, watch him do the miraculous. Watch him do the supernatural. We just make the choice. And if it's a struggle in your marriage, you make the choice and take that step toward him. And then you watch what he does. You watch how he revolutionizes everything in your home and in your relationship. We make the choice. Make the choice to follow Jesus, and then watch his Holy Spirit begin to work and move and lead and guide in your life in ways like you never knew before. If you're struggling with certain choices, decisions, am I supposed to go right or am I supposed to go left? You pray, ask the Lord to lead you, make the choice, and then watch him prosper that step as he orders those steps. I've already prayed, so these altars are open. Come in Jesus' name. Let him do in your life what only he can do today as we worship.